Suddenly, lights flashed and needle gauges wavered on the primary Mattrans console. Both Banks and Lakesh jumped in surprise. Banks snatched his hands away from the keyboard as if he feared he had hit the wrong button. Snapping his head around, Lakesh stared at the Mercator relief map, his eyes focused on a single light blinking steadily, and tried to fix its location. The tiny flashing bulb represented the transmitting gateway somewhere in the far west. Swiftly, he flipped through his mental file of functioning units in that vicinity, and for a stretched-out period of time, drew a complete blank from pure shock. Long ago, he had altered the modulations of the Cerberus Gateway unit's transit feed connections, so its transmissions were untraceable, with one notable, fairly recent exception. Recalling that exception kept his memory from working properly, and the bright flares, like bursts of heat lightning on the other side of the armaglass walls of the chamber, distracted him further.
What's going on?
Lakesh gave the single blinking light on the map another searching look and reached for a desk intercom.
Banks, we've got an unscheduled materialization and an uninvited...
Then a realization struck him full force, like a cataract of icy water. He froze, mouth open, finger poised over the intercom button. He remembered what unit the light represented.
Who can it be?
The young man's question unfroze Lakesh sufficiently to thumb down the call button.
Armed security detail to operations, stat!
A designated security force did not exist as such in the redoubt. All of the personnel were required to become reasonably proficient with firearms, primarily the lightweight SA-80 subguns. The armed security detail Lakesh summoned would be anyone who grabbed a gun from the armory and reached the control center under their own power. The bursts of energy behind the translucent slabs disappeared. The light on the map stopped blinking, indicating a successful transit had been achieved. Within a minute, DeFore rushed into the complex, wielding one of the SA-80 autoblasters. The stocky, bronze-skinned woman fumbled to keep her pink terrycloth robe closed at the same time and did a poor job of it, exposing an ample amount of cleavage. Only one of her feet was shod, in a heelless, floppy slipper that was supposed to resemble a buck-toothed rabbit. DeFore's usually tidy hair hung in disarrayed, ash-blonde wisps. Her liquid brown eyes were surrounded by puffy flesh. She telegraphed fear, anger, and impatience at the same time. Despite the gun, she did not present a formidable impression, and under other circumstances, Lakesh might have been inclined to laugh.
What the hell kind of an emergency are we having at 5:30 in the goddamn morning?
Come with me, Doctor, and let's find out.
DeFore sidled cautiously around him, refusing to let Banks take the subgun. They circled the big table in the room and approached the jump chamber. As they did so, Kata raced into the control center dressed only in boxer shorts and, like DeFore, brandishing an SA-80. His black hair stood up all over his head.
Farrell ought to be here any second. He came into the armory as I was leaving it.
Kata and DeFore took up crossfire positions on either side of the unit, blasters held at hip level. Lakesh stepped up to the platform and gripped the door handle.
No matter who or what is in there, no shooting except at my order.
The two armed people acknowledged his words with curt nods. Farrell sprinted in, panting and wild-eyed, but at least he was dressed in a bodysuit. He pointed the barrel of the SA-80 at the gateway, but Lakesh waved him back. Carefully, Lakesh disengaged the lock mechanism, lifted the handle, and swung open the heavy door on its counterbalanced hinges. Most of the mist produced by the Quincunx effect's plasma bleed-off had dissipated, so the figure slouched over against the far wall was easily discerned. Identification wasn't so easy. A man-shape sat huddled on the hexagonal floor plates, his extraordinarily long arms wrapped about his disproportionately short legs. Beneath a tangled mat of coarse black hair, beady dark eyes blinked in confusion. His blunt-featured, dark-complexioned face held a dazed expression. He wore a one-piece bodysuit of drab olive green. Even standing up, he couldn't have been much more than 4 feet tall, if that. When he shifted his bare feet, Lakesh saw how dirty both of them were, and how each one sprouted 4 long toes and a very long big toe that projected out at a 45-degree angle near the heel. It represented not so much a toe as a thumb, tipped with a horny, bevel-edged nail. Nonplussed, Lakesh realized he was looking at a transadapt. The little man gazed calmly up at Lakesh and extended his right foot as if he were inviting him to shake it. Gripped tightly within the curled toes, Lakesh saw the oblong shape of an implode grenade. His prehensile toe rested atop the blinking detonator button.
Is Miss Bridget at home?
Where's Lakesh?
Kata jerked his head toward the Mattrans unit.
In there, with our guest. DeFore is with him, too.
Grant and Kane's Sin Eaters automatically snapped into their hands. Banks eyed the weapons apprehensively.
There's no immediate danger. He's been here for nearly 30 hours.
Neither Kane nor Grant holstered his blaster. Cautiously, they stepped up onto the platform and peered into the chamber. Lakesh and DeFore stood over a small man squatting against the far wall. The foil packages of several self-heat rations lay crumpled up around him. At the moment, he was drinking from a water bottle gripped by his left foot. His dark eyes slitted when they rested on Grant and Kane. They both scowled when they saw the Gren clutched within his right foot.
A goddamn transadapt. One of Sindri's crew of trolls.
Fuck you, Biggin.
What the hell is he doing here?
He came over a transit line around dawn yesterday. He's refused to say from where exactly, or why, or even leave the platform. He threatened to use that grenade if we tried to force him out. He'll only talk to Bridget.
I'm here.
She shouldered her way between Grant and Kane. The transadapt's swart face split with a huge, welcoming grin, exposing discolored, stumpy teeth.
Hi, Miss Bridget. Do you remember me? My name is Leland. You cocked me real good on my head on Sidonia. Hit me with Sindri's cane.
Did Sindri send you here?
He needs help. And he said to tell you he's sorry. And to give you this.
He inserted dirt-encrusted fingers into a breast pocket of his coverall, oblivious to the boars of the Sin-Eaters staring at him like hollow eyes. He brought out a small, slip-sleeved CD-ROM and held it up toward her.
Look at this. It'll explain everything.
Leland's black eyes bore a glassy sheen, and he let his head rest against the wall as if it were getting too heavy to hold up.
He's suffering from the increased atmospheric pressure and richer oxygen content.
Bending down, Bridget took the disc, eyeing the Gren.
Leland, if you want my help, I'll need you to disarm that Gren.
Leland blinked, as if surprised about the presence of the device clutched within his toes.
Sorry. Almost forgot about it.
Leland's toe thumb tapped the primer button, and the blinking light went out. He opened his toes, and the metal ovoid dropped to the floor. Grant and Kane began a forward lunge toward Leland, intent on immobilizing him, but Bridget spread her arms and held them back.
Knock it off! What are you going to do? Double-team a man not even half your size?
Those transadapts are stronger than they look, remember?
Kane glared a little defensively, but he came to a halt. Grant reached down and scooped up the Gren, eyeing it closely. Then he squinted suspiciously at Leland.
A DM-54 implode with an electronic detonator, manufactured around 1999. The proverbial handful of hell. Damn rare. I doubt we have more than a dozen in the arsenal. There were no weapons in the Sidonia compound, so where'd you get this?
Leland glared back and flipped Grant off with his right foot.
I imagine he got it from the same source that supplied our dozen.
What do you mean?
A moment, friend Grant. Leland, do you feel secure enough to leave the chamber now?
I don't know. Miss Bridget?
You're safe. Consider yourself our guest.
Kane glared scornfully, but Leland ignored him. He stood and walked across the jump chamber, listing slightly. The knuckles of his hands nearly dragged on the floor plates. Grant stepped aside as Bridget led the little man out into the ready room.
Is there anything you want?
Need to go to the head. Been at least 3 days since I took a leak. It's starting to get serious.
3 days? Banks, would you mind showing him the proper facilities?
Banks quirked an eyebrow, first at her, then at Leland. He finally shrugged and smiled.
Once the nursemaid of aliens, always the nursemaid of aliens, I guess. My lot in life. Come with me, Leland.
I'm no alien. I may be a Martian, but that don't make me no alien.
Kane, Grant, Lakesh, and DeFore emerged from the Mat-Trans unit. Turning to face them, Bridget lightly tapped the compact computer disk against the palm of one hand.
I guess there's no longer any need to wonder if we'll ever hear from Sindri again.